I think that I would have a difficult time. Because even in the literature, there's some discussion about what is a story. But let's begin with that question, because if we don't know what storytelling is, then we can't do it, can we? I hope you're going to see this. I'm going to try to put it up here. I thought it might help us if we could have a little bit of visualization here. So the first thing I'm going to do is to tell you that storytelling is an art form. That means it's an art form like a painting, like dance, like music. It's an art form. It is not a new art form. It is the oldest art form that we know. The oldest art form. And people have told stories before they could write, before they could make movies. They told stories. And in looking at what storytelling actually is, I'm going to read to you, and I don't like necessarily reading, but I'm going to read you what the National Storytelling Network in the United States says. This is what we think storytelling is, and I'm going to talk to you a minute about that. Storytelling is the art of using language, vocabulary, and physical movements and gestures to reveal the elements and the images of stories to a specific, listen to this word, live audience. It is a central, unique aspect of storytelling is the reliance on the audience to develop specific visual imagery and detail to complete and co-create the story. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is that storytelling is oral. Something up here that says storytelling is oral. That means you have to talk it. That means it has to be at a place where there is somebody who can hear what you are saying. Storytelling is live. Storytelling isn't something that's in a box. It isn't something that we put on a wall. It's something that we do together. So when I was asking you to think of No Story Land, I used words and I used actions that said, this is what No Story Land was like. I didn't tell you to repeat and the people got quieter, but you see, you did. And the reason that you did is that's what storytelling is all about. It's a connection that I make with you, that any storyteller makes with the audience. Now, if I were standing up here talking like this and I was telling you, I'm going to tell you the story of what storytelling actually is. I'm not talking with you. Storytelling says, I create something in my head, I select some words orally, and I say, how will that mean you will have a picture? The same picture in your head. No one in here has the same picture of Storyland because it's your picture. And I'm not going to take your picture, but your picture is based upon what you have seen in the past. So when I say No Storyland, you may think of your village. You may think of a place that you have been. But it's a place that you and I co-create. So I don't tell you a story. We work together to create a story orally. And this is what makes oral storytelling so different. You heard the previous speaker talk to you about what storytelling was in a written form. And I'm going to just thank you so much for him saying that, because there is a lot of controversy that says storytelling is what you write. And so if you want to know about storytelling, then you have to write something. You know what? You write it in your head. That's where you write it. When you are dependent upon writing, did you see me have to come and get a pen? I had to have something to write with. I had to have emblems that you would understand. I don't write, look at these, I don't write a lot. My foreign language happens to be signing. So I sign, but I don't speak a foreign language. Right? So you don't understand that. We have to have the same language code, the same writing code if we're going to write. And the other thing you have to have is you have to have something to write with and something to write on. And if you don't have those, then you can't write. Writing requires that you learn how to do it. What is so wonderful about storytelling is if you begin to learn language through stories, which we do, then all you have to do is open your mouth and start talking. And you'll create a story. You'll learn language, you'll create a story, but you don't have to think about, am I writing the right letter? Because it's spontaneous and it's natural. And writing is much, much more difficult. I'm going to introduce a third way that we learn. In other words, we're going to electronic media. So another way of doing a story might be that you use electronic media. And he introduced that to you and said in the forms of movies. But you know what? If you've got electronic, how many of you have an iPod? How many of you have a cell phone? How many of you text message? How many of you have a computer? You see? So we're beginning to move in this age of electronic media, which is good. And I want to encourage you in it. But let me show you something that is really interesting. Between 60 and 80% of what you communicate is oral. That means you're talking it. Between 10 to 20% of what you communicate is in writing. And electronically, we're not sure it's running anywhere from 0 to 10%. But you know, if you don't have electricity, then you can't use the electronic media. It's for free. And maybe that's why we take it for granted. And maybe we don't even think about storytellers. I know we have some experienced storytellers over here. And what a wonderful gift they have. And they have built that for us. But you know what? They're not the only storytellers. If you lifted your fingers in the air, you are a storyteller. You can't get through a day without telling a story. And that's really what I'm trying to do with you right now, is to say to you that storytelling is a part of the oral tradition that is so magnificent here in Bhutan. If we do not keep working at it, we will lose it. Let me tell you another reason why storytelling is so important. Storytelling, if you look at it in a school setting, and we have a number of students here, it is has been described as, now listen to this carefully, the number one literacy tool. The number one literacy tool. It is the ultimate way that teachers have, and it's free. It's the ultimate way that a teacher in the classroom can reach the students so that instead of you sitting here and just spouting back facts, so-and-so was born in such and such and so-and-so, so-and-so did such and such and so-and-so, 2 times 7 is 14, da-da-da-da-da. Instead of doing that, that teacher can put that information, we call it embedding it, in the curriculum, and all of a sudden, those facts that you hate so much to memorize, they become fascinating for you. They become real, so that when they go up here in your brain, they're filed. And they're filed with a story. It's the story that makes the fact real, relevant, and something to remember. It is a natural tool, as I said, it's right there. You just use it and not be afraid of it. It motivates. How many of you as students have gone into a classroom and said, well, I have to go to the class. Well, I have to learn this. Do you wake up and say, it's school time, yes! Well, maybe there are are days like that, but most of the days are not like that. So what happens is, teachers, you walk in and here are your students. Hi, everyone! It's time to start the day! Are we happy? Eager minds ready to learn. Let me tell you that in interviewing storytellers, which is part of what I did for this project, in interviewing national storytellers, they told me that they rarely go into a situation to work with any age group that they don't become motivated. They push the storyteller. Instead of the storyteller pushing them, they are motivated because, listen to this, stories beget stories. Stories beget stories. That means that if I tell you a story, you tell me a story. And when you tell me a story, you're recalling everything that you filed up here. And you're making it useful for you. And that's what we want to do. It makes your storehouse of information real and relevant. It also will give you as a teacher, and will give you as a parent, it will give you as an educator, it will give you as a student, a freedom to learn. I don't have to, I want to. Let me tell you a little side story here. I've been traveling. I came from the United States, and I traveled in India for 6 days with two people from the United States. They were my storytellers. They were my story teachers.
Oh, I read the books before we went.
But suddenly, being there with those two men and listening to the stories was a fascinating and a growing kind of thing for me. We also find that when you use storytelling in the classroom, students want to write. Did you hear what I said? They want to write. They want to write what they've spoken. They want to read more. They want more information because you can't learn storytelling by just sitting. And so they begin to research it. Stories are trapped information. Say that again. Stories are trapped information. You've all got the stories and it's trapped inside you. So that when you have an opportunity, then you can begin to share your stories. You have a literacy rate here. The last figures I heard was about 47%. That's less than half of you are literate. Less than half of the people of Bhutan can read and write, but you're happy. That concerns me. We have the same problem in the United States. We have students that go to school and end up being illiterate. You go to school for 12 years and you come out illiterate? That's hard to understand, but it's true. You don't learn to read and you don't learn to write. Perhaps we've got the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Perhaps we're emphasizing the wrong thing. I'm going to give you a 3-step plan, and I don't know if this plan will work for you. When I was asked to do this, I said, all right, I'll give some strategies that have worked in the United States, but you are your own strategist. I can't give you a plan because there's no one plan that fits all. But I'm going to tell you that if you are going to make storytelling real in Bhutan, if you're going to make it a part of who you are, there are two parts to it. They involve adults and, yeah, they involve children. You cannot do one without the other. You can't focus on the children if you have not concentrated on the adults. So I'll give you a 3C. 3 C's. Everybody got that? 3 C's to remember. The first one is that I would suggest to you is start with a conference. Whoa! You are already started. You have the first conference. In the United States, we have a conference every year. A national conference every year. Because we need it. The second thing I would tell you is, the second C is concern. You can have a great conference. Bye, everybody. We're going home. See ya. You have to be concerned about what can happen. You don't want to be in no-story land. That's not where you are. Your conference is saying we don't want to be in no-story land. Then say, I am concerned. And with concern comes action. Everybody got that? Because, oh, I'm so concerned about you. What are you going to do about it? I went to a conference. So you're going to have to do more than being concerned. You're going to have to, and this is the third C, connect. Connect. So have a conference, which is what you're doing. Build your concern. Make it real. It should be hurting you right now. You should be saying, I want to know more. How do we do this? I want to get started into this. And then the second thing is connect. Okay, adults, I'm going to start with you. You have a responsibility on your shoulders. This is the sign for responsibility. The responsibility is that you better identify who you are. You better identify your storytellers. I asked some people, I said, do you have a list of your storytellers, Bhutanese storytellers? We're getting it. How can you start if you don't know who you've got? So start with your membership. Start with identifying those storytellers that you know, those story people that want to be storytellers, and those people that want to be involved with storytelling. And it takes all three if you're going to do this. I would say to you, you are so gifted in that at this point, my indication from your government officials are, we're willing to take some responsibility. Don't let them go. Go talk to them. Take that responsibility as adults. If you don't, these kids cannot. So you will fail your children. If you do not start identifying who you are, identify the actions that you want to happen. Identify some plans that you want to see happen. Present some workshops in and around. Don't just stop here. Present some workshops. Go to those workshops. Go online. There are some programs online. Don't leave here tomorrow without saying, we're doing this next year. We're going to have storytelling conference number two. Plan it ahead. Then begin to look at publications. Make your own publications. There's a publication coming out of this conference. It's the first one. You're going to need some more. Dr. Sobel and I have served for 7 years on the National Storytelling Network board as a part of what's called Storytelling in Higher Education. Dr. Sobel had the vision to say, we must have a publication that addresses the, listen to me, research in the area. We have a research journal in storytelling. And Mr. Evans has also served as a liaison on that board. Because we know you've got to document what is happening. Then we have a magazine. And the magazine has stories about what you're doing at your school, who's doing what. Steve and I came to Bhutan, and there was a whole write-up in that issue. So that keeps people connected. Where's your website? You have skilled people here that can put up a website to provide information. Plan a festival. You don't have to have a big festival, but plan a festival. And you may want to look at some places to get money. The way I met Bhutan was through a grant program through the National Storytelling Network. And what we do in the National Storytelling Network is that we give grants. The reason that this project came about was because Mr. Evans received a Brimstone grant. That was a start. Well, it was a little start. But it was a start. So, have some grants. Entice people with some money. And if you do, they will try. But now, you know who's really important? They're seated on the floor. They're seated back here in the areas, and they're called children. I work with children as young as 6 months in storytelling. And I work with seniors as old as 92. And it's a great joy to work with all of them. In the United States, we have an organization through the National Storytelling Network, which is one of these, and it's called the Youth Educator Storytellers. And what we do in that organization is we bring in storytellers, story teachers, story writers, and we plan programs for children. One of those programs is called the National Youth Storytelling Showcase. And we have a competition. And in that competition, we ask students to submit a DVD. And I brought three DVDs with me, and I would be glad to leave them. I wasn't sure whether they would show or not. But these are DVDs of the winners of the National Youth Storytelling Showcase. And I would love to have shown these to you. One of these young ladies was from Florida. She was a young woman, and I want to tell her story real quickly. She was from a divided home, and her dad was not very nice. And she found who she was and what she wanted to do in storytelling, and she won the national championship in youth storytelling. A young lady from Miami, Florida. But it didn't stop there. 2 years ago, Chloe was invited to be the ambassador to China. And she traveled for 3 weeks in China, telling stories in the villages in China. And now, Chloe's goal, as she starts her senior year next year, is to be able to return to China to study. It can bring all sorts of wonderful things that can happen. I work with young people on my state level, and it's called the Florida Storytelling Association. And we choose 5 storytellers every year, and we take them to what's called a story camp. And they work with national storytellers and with us, and then they go on the big stage, and they perform in front of audiences of about 300 to 400. So it can be on the local level, and you can pull it to the national level. Our 5 tellers, youthful tellers in the state of Florida, travel to the festivals as representatives of youth storytelling. It's an exciting and wonderful thing to happen. So how does all of this work? Well, I don't have a gift to give you other than to say I love it. I'm a storyteller lover, and I'm a storyteller teller. And it's very, very important that you are a lover of stories before you become a storyteller. Let me leave you with 2 thoughts. Once upon a time, there was a little girl, a very young child, and she, like all children, needed to hear stories. Lots and lots of stories. But she didn't have a storyteller to help her. Once there was a country called Bhutan. And that country became a country of stories. And the king was happy. And the people were happy. And the children were happy. Because they could tell stories. And you know how stories often end? And they lived.
We youth feel that we are made the scapegoat of the degrading traditional values and morals. We talk about youth idolizing foreign actors, artists, athletes, so on as models. As you may be enlightened, our idealizing models depend on the education we receive and the values instilled at a growing age. Thus, we are concerned that the opportunities to understand and inculcate our values idolize our heroes are less, if not non-existent, when our systems and education teach us foreign literature and foreign values. We do not mean that we lack of such literary wealth. We do have in documented or oral forms. Probably we fail to explore and value those indispensable wealth we have, or we are ignorant to appreciate them and envy others. To be honest, we won't be afraid to idolize like Lynn Gesser, Milarepa, Meme, Hele Hele, so many, because we understand we are the bridge, the future. We have the great expectation to preserve our tradition, to become Bhutanese and live with our values.
Adults, I hope you listened to his story. I hope you listened carefully, because what I heard you say was, we do respect what we're given. We do respect the stories of our culture. We do respect our country, but we know that there are other things that we need to learn. Is that what you're saying? And please give us that opportunity.
Also a question with grown-ups coming to storytelling who have not had an unbroken tradition. I think we all tell stories according to models. In other words, both youth, but youth especially, youth and adults, but youth especially, imitate people that we've seen do things well. And so I would really encourage you to sit at the feet of people like the woman over there from Paro and the man from Eastern Bhutan, the people who tell stories in the traditional way, because they are grounded in a really full whole body, whole community tradition. That is so important. In America, you see many young storytellers who are imitating a more of a superficial model of storytelling. And that means people who are reciting stories learned from books or reciting stories learned from videotapes. But the stories that they're learned from your elders are really the powerful, grounded, full-body experiences of storytelling. So don't let that get away, because you got it. It's here. I heard Mr. Ling Chen say that it's threatened, and that may be true, but you're still got it close by enough to learn it, and that's a real important model not to lose. So
a variety of kinds of
somewhere you are at this point. But know that there are other stories. You know what? You gave us a personal story. And I would encourage you to put down the paper and talk from your heart. Because the stories are where? At your fingertips. They're personal stories sometimes.
I'm Toki Zamo, and I'm a staff here at the CBS. I'm a researcher. And today, for the morning story narration session, we have three speakers. One is Mimitong Daje, he's from Bumthong. And then we have Apsang Doji, who's from Monger. And on the left is Mr. Nawang Tunso, he's from Chimgong. So to start off, we have first Mimitong Daje. He's a farmer by profession, and he's a very popular storyteller back in this village. And he tells me that his storytelling skills were handed over to him by his parents and grandparents, who were, in fact, good storytellers of their time. And besides his parents and grandparents, there was a Tibetan Lama who had helped him to build stories not only as a medium for entertainment, but also as spiritual and emotional fibers connecting lives with resonant truths, no matter how funny, mysterious, mythical the story. So the current story, titled Who Manin Dashi, if I was to translate it in English, it means the guy who never listens. It's one of his favorites. So with this, I pass on the mic to you.